Your Bibles today will turn with me here to the book of Mark, New Testament Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, New Testament Gospel of Mark, in chapter 12. Amen. Mark chapter 12. We're going to begin reading at verse 28. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, this is other religious leaders and Jesus, the scribe heard them reasoning together, perceiving that Jesus had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel. The Lord, our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Verse 31, and the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Amen. Amen. I just want to preach to us for a few moments this morning from this subject. Love is the principal thing. Love is the principal thing. Put your Bibles down. Let's talk to God one more time and give Him thanks and praise again. We love you, Lord God. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you for your love, your mercy, your goodness, and your kindness to us, Lord. We ask that you would help us in Jesus' name. We pray for understanding today. We pray for revelation today in Jesus' name. We pray. Let the Holy Ghost fill this house. Let the glory of the Lord fill this sanctuary. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. On this particular day, Jesus is fielding questions from the religious leaders who would like nothing more than to trip him up and catch him unable to answer a question and therefore prove that he was just another wannabe Messiah in those days and deflate his popularity. The only problem was they didn't understand that it would be impossible to trip him up or give him a gotcha question because he was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. That Greek word for word there is logos. It's the thought of God and the expression or utterance of that thought. And the Word was with God and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shone in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, says John 1. 1 Corinthians 1, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Colossians 2, in whom Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So when the Pharisees and Sadducees and now this scribe asked Jesus these questions, He, Jesus, was speaking from the wisdom and knowledge of God. For He was, as the Bible tells us, the mighty God or Jehovah in flesh. Amen. He was Yahweh become Yeshua. In our text, it is a scribe that approaches Jesus asking Him a question. A scribe was one whose entire life was dedicated to meticulously copying the Word of God, what we now call the Old Testament. He would copy the ancient scrolls letter by letter, or character by character, for preservation of the word to be kept in the temple. He knew the word. He knew the law and the history. Interestingly, his one claim to fame came when he asked Jesus, "What is the first and greatest commandment of all?" Every Jewish man worth his salt would know the answer to that. He couldn't have asked a Jew a simpler question. And when Jesus answered and said, "The first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment, and the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." The scribe then said to Jesus, "Well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus heard the scribe's reply to his answer, Jesus said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Now, we could speculate all day about why a scribe would ask someone as renowned as Jesus Christ, someone he even considered a rabbi, a master, a teacher, such a question. But I believe it was a divine appointment. Amen. I believe the scribe was searching for something. And I believe he was on to Jesus. He was getting a revelation of who Jesus was. And he came to Jesus hoping for a confirmation. And when Jesus answered him correctly, there was more to it than just quoting Deuteronomy 6. Everything the scribe was searching for was in that answer. And when the scribe replied to Jesus and said, "Well said, teacher, for there is but one God, and there is none other but He. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength." Jesus looked into his soul and said, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." In other words, his understanding of that one thing, that there is but one God, and that you are to love Him with all heart, soul, mind, and strength. His understanding of that was drawing him into the kingdom of God. And so he said, "You are not far from it." Notwithstanding the fact that Jesus told another religious leader, one named Nicodemus, that except a man be born again, and that of water and the Spirit, he cannot see nor enter the kingdom of God. And that must not be neglected. We must not neglect being born again of water. That's baptism. We must never neglect being born again of the Spirit. That's the infilling of the Holy Ghost. But notwithstanding that command and fact, he told the scribe that he was not far from the kingdom of God. Why? Because when you get to that place, when you get to that level of understanding and that hunger for God, everything else begins to fall into place. When I get to that level of understanding that there is only one God and there is no other but He, and when, though I might not quite be there yet, I understand that I must love Him with all my heart and with all of my soul and with all my mind and with all my strength, then I won't have a problem with loving others. I won't have a problem with being born again. I won't have a problem with being baptized in His name. I won't have a problem with any of the other commandments. Because when I truly love the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, then I am not far from the kingdom of God. I believe there was another reason for the scribe to ask Jesus that question. Not only was it a divine appointment for the scribe himself, but I believe it was a mandate by God for the benefit of every person who would live and who would read it for the next 2,000 years. Because if it wasn't for this conversation, we may not know what the first commandment of all is. Because until this conversation and what's recorded by Matthew and Luke, we never hear of the first or greatest commandment of all. We would have to rely on our own study and understanding of Deuteronomy and Jewish tradition and the entire Old Testament. But God didn't leave it up to chance. Just as He did with Nicodemus to let us know that we must be born again of water and the Spirit to see or enter the kingdom of God, He made a divine appointment with a scribe to let us know that the first and greatest commandment is that the Lord our God is one Lord and we must love Him with all heart, all soul, all mind and all strength. Amen. Now, we have no doubt a few problems with that. One is, how can we be commanded to love? Right? You ever thought about that? The question is based on our misunderstanding of love. If I were to say, or if you're thinking, how can I be commanded to love? That is based on your misunderstanding of love. You see, love is not an emotion that ebbs and flows with the winds of change. Love is a choice. Love is not as the world sees it, nor as the world portrays it. It's not a fleeting and self-serving emotion. Love is not a temporary infatuation or romance. Love is not an affair. That's lust. Love is not an attraction. And certainly not one based on beauty, brains, or brawn. Amen. Love is not rebellion against what is natural or against the opposite sex. Amen. The reason we struggle with love, the reason we think that we can fall in and out of love easily, is because of our concept and definition of love. When we love by the world's definition of love, then love is a feeling. And that's why relationships struggle. And that's why so many people struggle living for God. When we bring the world's definition of love into our relationship with God, it's not going to work. But if I can somehow erase and eradicate the world's definition of love from my mind and my memory and my understanding and replace it with an understanding of God's definition of love, then I can have something that's far deeper and far richer and more lasting Amen. I then can have a love that stands the test of time. I can have a love that strengthens me through trials and tribulations. I can have a love that sustains me through times of discouragement. And if I bring that kind of love into a relationship, I can have a marriage that will not fail. Amen. The world's definition of love will let you down. That's why people say love hurts. But God's definition of love never hurts. It never lets you down. The world's definition of love places stipulations and restrictions on trust. It says, I trust you, but. I trust you if this, this, and this. That's why some marriages begin with a prenuptial agreement. And I know there are different kinds, and some have to do with death and children. But traditionally, it's basically saying, if and when this doesn't work out, then I still get this and you get this, so sign here. It's like saying, I love you, but I don't trust you. So I'm going to hedge my bets and protect my assets. And when we understand love in that definition, and we bring that mess into our relationship with God, and we say, I'm going to try this. I'm going to try this for a little while. I love you, Lord, but I'm keeping my old phone numbers. I love you, Lord, but I'm keeping my old friends. I love you, Lord, but I'm keeping my old records. I love you, Lord, but I'm going to hang on to some old ways. I love you, Lord, but just in case this doesn't work out, I'm not going to get rid of this, this, and this. I love you, Lord, but what's mine is mine. I love you, Lord, but I'm keeping my money. But not in God's love. In God's love. If I can get that kind of love, if I can get an understanding of that kind of love, of God's kind of love in my life, then I can say, I trust the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct my paths. I can say, I trust Him in everything and for everything. In God's definition of love, there is no prenuptial agreement, but there is an everlasting covenant. His promise to you is, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28. Hebrews 13 and 5 says, He will never leave you nor forsake you. And you can take it to the bank. So, what is the purpose of this first and greatest commandment of all? Why are we commanded to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength? This is more than just a commandment to do something we cannot do. If we live by the world's definition of love, we cannot do this. We cannot fulfill this commandment. This kind of love that he's talking about, this kind of love doesn't match the parameters set by the world. This kind of love doesn't fit within the scope of the definition of the world's kind of love. This is more than that. This is more than a commandment to do. This is an invitation to understanding. It's an invitation to discovery and revelation. First, it's an invitation to the revelation that He is one. Jesus said the first, foremost of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Amen. It's a direct quote from Deuteronomy 6 and 4. It doesn't sound like a commandment. It sounds like a statement, a declaration, and it is. But it is also a commandment to understand that and never forget that. Then he quotes the next verse, Deuteronomy 6, 5, which is still part of the first and greatest commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. You notice any difference there? Deuteronomy 6, 5 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your strength. But when Jesus quotes it, he adds a word. He adds mind. Why? Because he knows it will require understanding. Because our concept of love is so messed up. Now, just in case you're wondering about how Jesus can add a word to Scripture without violating that Scripture and the law, remember, it's the first part of the, if the first part of that commandment is true, and it is, and the Lord our God, the Lord is one, then Jesus is that one, and it's His word in the first place, so He can add to it if He wants to. So to fulfill this commandment to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, this requires another level of understanding and revelation of God's definition of love. So how can I understand that? How can I fulfill that commandment? How can I get to the place where I do love Him with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind, and all of my strength, like Jesus said and like He expects. To get to that place, and to get to a place of understanding, I must first get understanding of His love for me. That's the only way I can do it. That's why the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 3 that he's praying for you, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints, what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul said, I can't help you by myself. I can't explain it to you. Or I can explain it to you, but I can't make you understand it. And so he says, I go to my knees and I'm praying for you. I'm praying for all of you. I'm praying for the saints. And I'm praying for me and I'm praying for you that God would give us an understanding of the width and the height and the depth and the length of His love. That we could be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. Because it is imperative that you understand. It is imperative that we can grasp what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. That means you've got to get to understanding. Knowledge is not enough. You've got to go beyond knowledge and get to understanding. And only prayer can do that. Only the Holy Ghost can do that. And so, we must get to the place where we understand His love for us so that we can in turn love Him with all heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so, God's love for us, we start there. It's unconditional. It's not based on my performance. It's not based on my character. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's unconditional. His love doesn't change with the ebb and flow. It's unchangeable. It doesn't waver. It doesn't fluctuate. It doesn't change with the ebb and flow of my life. It's unconditional, it's unchangeable, and it's undying. He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. The world's definition of love is conditional. You have to be this way, or you have to be that way. You have to look like this or like that. You have to do this for me or do that for me. But God sees your condition and says, I love you unconditionally. He sees you in your sin and says, I love you too much to let you die in your sin without a way out. He sees you in your struggle with love and says, if you will get understanding of my love for you, you will never struggle with love again. How does God love you? He knows what you feel. He knows what you face. He knows what you fight. He knows your pain and your disappointments. He knows your distresses and your discouragements. He knows your thoughts and the intents of your heart. He knows everything about you. He knows your past, He knows your present, and He knows your future. There's nothing that you can feel that He hasn't felt. There's nothing that you can fight that He hasn't fought. He hears the cries of the orphan, the sob of the brokenhearted, the angry words of the violent, and the screams of their victims. He feels the woes of the prisoners and the refugees, and the hunger pangs of the starved. And He is touched by the sorrows of those who mourn, the helplessness and the hopelessness of those chained by the habits of sin. He feels the emptiness of those who have never been filled with His Spirit. That's how much He loves you and me. How does God love you? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that He that knew no sin was made sin, that we might be made in the righteousness of God. He was made sin. As I said a few months ago, He loves us so much that on Calvary He had all the sins of the past 4,000 years of humanity pushing its weight upon Him. And He had all the sin of the coming next 2,000 years flooding in upon Him from the future, your sins and mine. He took all that upon Himself. And Isaiah says that He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. You can't have peace with sin. And so the chastisement of that peace was upon Him. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Every wicked thing, every vile thing, every perverse thing, every evil act, every murder, every rape, every child molestation, every act of homosexuality, alcoholism, drug addiction, sexual addictions, porn addictions, things that you cannot and don't want to think of. Jesus took it all into His body at once. Why? Because of love. He gathered all of that into Himself because He loves you. And when we get understanding of His love, then, and only then, will we understand how we can love Him with all our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength? It can only come when we begin to understand His love for us. And it only comes by understanding. Man, it surpasses knowledge. You've got to get into another level. And that a level is understanding and revelation. Amen. So what does it mean to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your heart. To love the Lord God with all my heart. That's worship. Amen. That's worship. Yes, worship involves emotions. As I said in the beginning, love is not emotions, or it's not an emotion, but emotions are a byproduct of love. Right? There are various kinds of emotions that are a product of love. If you truly love your spouse with a godly kind of love, there are emotions with that. You get a certain feeling when you see them and when you hear their voice and when they come home from being gone. Emotions are attached to love. Love is not emotions, but emotions are a byproduct. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was so emotional because of His love. He knew that in hours He would be crucified. He knew that He would take on all of that sin from the last 4,000 years and all the future sins of the next 2,000 years. It was coming all upon Him. He knew the pain. He knew the stripes. He knew the crown of thorns. He knew the nails. He knew it all. It was no surprise to Him. But because of His love for you and me, the emotions attached to that caused His nerves to be a wreck, that He sweated, as it were, great drops of blood, the Bible says. And so, if I love Him with the kind of love that He's talking about in this first commandment of all, yes, when I do it with my whole heart, there's emotion there because it's worship. I love you, Lord God. I love you. I love you, Lord. With everything that's in me, I love you. And when I love Him with all my soul, what is that? That's the center of your being. It's your will. It's your choice. Man. I will to worship Him. I will to love Him. It's a choice to love Him. It's a choice to get understanding. It's a choice to seek His face. It's a choice to know Him and to love Him. Then, when I love Him with all of my mind, as I said a moment ago, that's understanding. It's understanding. It's not just saying, I love God. Yeah, I love Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus. Yeah. But it goes beyond knowledge and it gets into understanding. That's my mind. That's when I love Him with all my mind. I've got revelation of who He is. I've got understanding of who He is. I've got understanding of His love for me. And so I love Him with all my mind. And then my strength. That's both physical and spiritual. Because when I love Him with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my mind, then my strength cannot help but get in line. Amen. I cannot help but worship Him and love Him with strength. My physical strength, my spiritual strength, I give it to Him. Amen. Whether it's outward signs of worship and praise, or whether it's inward signs, or the inward strength that's groaning to love Him and to worship Him. I love Him with all my strength. And so what is love? First of all, as I mentioned, it's a choice. Love is always a choice. Amen. To love God is a choice. To seek God is a choice. To pursue Him is a choice. To worship is a choice. Amen. I choose. If I love Him, I choose to love Him. And I choose His presence. I choose the sanctuary, right? Amen. I choose to make an effort to get into His presence. I choose to make an effort to worship with His people. I choose to make an effort to sacrifice. I choose. Amen. Love is a choice and love is commitment. When I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength, I am committed to Him. Amen. My commitment proves my love for Him. Because I can say I love Him, but if I'm not committed to Him, then I'm just saying it. Amen. And so my commitment to Him, my commitment to His kingdom, my commitment to His work and His purpose and His mission and His calling, my commitment to ministry, that answers whether or not I love Him. Amen. And so it all comes down to this. Do I love Him with all of my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength? That's my question. But that same question is yours. It all comes down to that question. Do you love Him? Jesus said this is the first. This is the greatest commandment of all. The Lord your God, the Lord is one. And you shall love Him. Love Him. Love Him. Amen. It's not a commandment, really, but it is, but it's more of an invitation to understanding. It's more of an invitation to revelation. It's more of an invitation to a relationship with Him that is beyond explanation. If I love Him, I'll serve Him. If I love Him, I'll worship Him. If I love Him, I will praise Him with a heart of thanksgiving. With a heart of thanksgiving, I will bless you, Lord. I will praise you, Lord. I will worship with a grateful heart if I love Him. And if I love Him, He said, the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. I can't love my neighbor if I don't love him first. But if I love him, then I'm going to love my neighbor. Amen. I'm going to love my neighbor if I love God. And because I love God, I love you and you and you and every one of you. I can love you because I love Him. If I don't love Him, I'm probably going to have a problem with you. Amen? Because we have different personalities and we have different likes and tastes and dislikes and all these things. And I might say things you don't like, and you might say things I don't like, and all those kind of things. But if I love Him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength, that then supersedes everything else. And that just means if I love Him, I love you. 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 If I love Him, I love the souls of this city. I love the lost of this community. If I love Him, I love all those people that are waiting for a church to open in their community, that are waiting for somebody to knock on their door, that are waiting for somebody to invite them to the house of God. They don't know if we want them there. They don't know if they're welcome there. They don't know if they're welcome or wanted or desired. They don't know that until we love them. Amen. 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 And so love is the principal thing. I've got to love Him with everything that's in me. And I've got to love people. I've got to love people. Amen. God help us. Oh, hallelujah. And what a wonderful, marvelous place to be. To know that you love God with all your heart. Just to know. I'm not making this up, God. This is real. Just to know I'm not faking this. I'm not putting on a show. I'm not putting on a facade. I love Him. I love Him when you're here and I love Him when you're not here. I love Him when I'm by myself and I love Him when I'm worshiping with you. I love him with all my heart. I love him with all my mind and with all my soul and all my strength. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. What a place to be. I admit to you this morning, I'm not where I want to be in that. I'm not yet there. No, I want to grow in him. I want to get closer to him. I want to love him more. I want to love him more. Whatever it takes, God, if you've got to expand my heart, if you've got to increase my mind, enlarge my soul, increase my strength that I can love you more, do it, God. Because if it gets better than this, I want it. Amen. If it gets better than this, I want that. Oh, hallelujah. What a place. What a place you can be. What a place you can be. I know what it's like to fake it. I know what it's like to put on a facade. I know what it's like to put on a show. We've all been there. We've done that. Amen. That's miserable. That's miserable. But to get to that place of understanding and revelation, and God begins to open your understanding to his love for you, and you begin to realize, oh God, I didn't know. God, I didn't know you did that. I didn't know that's what it was like. And God begins to give you revelation. He begins to show you things. God, I didn't realize that's how deep it is. I didn't realize that's how rich it is. I had a misunderstanding of love. I thought it was affairs and lusts and attractions and all these other things. That ain't got nothing to do with it. That's the world's definition of love. And God, I'm past that now because I have understanding. And because I have understanding, I love you, God. I love you, Lord. And I will serve you. I will live for you. And I will love my neighbors. Oh, hallelujah. Let's stand. God, I want us to love you, Lord. I want us to love you. I want us to love your word. I want us to love your work. God, if I love you, I'll serve. If I love you, I'll do whatever you say, God. I'll do whatever you say. I'll give. I'll work, I'll tithe, I'll love, I'll teach, I'll witness, I'll worship. Oh God, I want you, Lord God, above all things, above everything else, Lord. I want you, God, I want you, Lord, I want you. Oh Jesus, oh hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Let's just find a place to pray. Let's just begin to pray. Oh, let's love him. I invite you to come. This altar area is open for anybody who wants to come. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what? I really do want to love him. I really do want to love him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. But let's go back a little while to that scripture, to that what you were talking about, being born again. I need that. I really need that. I really need to be baptized in his name. I really need to be born again. I really need to be filled with your spirit. That's all right. We can start there with you. We can start there with anybody. Oh, hallelujah. Let's just reach out today. Let's cry out today from our hearts.